time for us to get back to the hotline. And we bring in a man we've not heard from in a few weeks. Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joins us right now on the hotline. Al, long time no talk, my friend. How are you?
I'm back, man. My suspension has been lifted, so I'm back on the air now.
No suspension. You know that, my man. But it's great to have you back again. And, you know, in all seriousness, I was happy we were talking off the air that, you know, you weren't affected by those wildfires out there. You know, we see it on the news every single day, just how nasty it gets out there. And, you know, boy, the images just are incredible, and obviously not in a very good way, but boy, it looks pretty nasty out there. But we're happy that you're clear of all that madness.
Yeah, me too. It hasn't really affected me. Like you said, you see the photos, you talk to people who have been affected. Actually, one of the first films I ever shot in Los Angeles or worked on, where we shot, burned down the old famous Paramount Ranch that they've used since like the 1930s. Westworld shoots there. Few other shows that completely burned down, so it's a shame. But yeah, I'm pretty far away from the fire, so I've been pretty lucky so far.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of things we need to catch up on here. I think since we last spoke, I've actually taken a look at a few Netflix programs that I've thoroughly enjoyed. The Adam Sandler stand-up, not necessarily just a stand-up, that was really awesome with the tribute to Farley. I thought that was fantastic. Shortly after that, I had the opportunity to watch a couple episodes of the Norm MacDonald show. Norm MacDonald has a show. Now, Norm has since made a pitch on Twitter to try and renew his show on Netflix. You think this has another season left in it?
I don't know. It's difficult because Norm's starting to voice some political things that some people might find, you know, not to their liking, and we'll see if that affects him in the same way as it did Roseanne. He's not as out as Roseanne's been. But there's been some things he said that have kind of rubbed people the wrong way. I still love Norm. I'm hoping. I haven't watched that show yet. I know it's more of like a late-night interview format. He had some interesting guests on. I would love for it to be a second season, but I also looks like Netflix has been in the cutting businesses. They've cut a few shows like American Vandal. I think Daredevil might be going soon. So I'm really interested to see what Netflix does in the next coming months because they're putting out great material right now, but it doesn't seem like they're very interested in keeping all that stuff around.
Okay, so the show is interesting, but boy, it's just bizarre. Now, Matt, I know you've seen it.
That's exactly what a show was on YouTube. Yeah. It's just on Netflix now.
Yeah, and it's weird. I mean, so I've seen the first couple. I saw the one with David Spade. I saw the one with Drew Barrymore. I've not seen the one with Letterman yet. It's a really awkward conversation. Like, the one he has with Spade, I don't know if they meant for it to be that way or if it just kind of came together organically, but the one with Spade just seems so awkward. But that's kind of the way Norm works these things, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of like right down his wheelhouse.
Yeah, it definitely does. That's the way Norm usually is. Likes to make things uncomfortable and just kind of let people fall in line. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Sounds like right in his wheelhouse, which is the wheelhouse I like. I mean, I've always been a Norm fan, but the stuff that I really enjoy and I'll fall in a wormhole on is when he's on Conan and he just, you know, makes it uncomfortable for everyone around. That's his shtick.
Yeah. It is. And the first
he like sends it to a commercial break. There's no commercials on Netflix.
Right.
He just
sits
there talking to David Spade. I think it's brilliant, but
it's just it's odd. It's odd. Well, the first place I saw Norm MacDonald was on Saturday Night Live, and of course SNL this past Saturday opened with Steve Carell teasing an Office reboot. Is there anything to this, Al? Do you think this was creatively placed, or do you think that they were just having some fun with the crowd?
Real quick, I'm walking down Hollywood right now, Hollywood Boulevard, clapping right now for two flawless transitions, Bull. I really appreciate that. But, no, I don't think there's anything to it. I think it was it was a fun joke. I don't think there will be a reboot. There might be a reunion in the future, but I don't think that's anything legit. And am I one of the few people that didn't care for that? I like the idea, but to have Ed Helms, Ellie Kemper, and, Jenna Fisher was great, but Ed Helms and Ellie Kemper came in halfway through the season. I don't take the big names, man. I would have been happy with like a Stanley or, you know, someone in that echelon. I'm forgetting everyone's name. But
Creed or Kevin, sure.
Yeah, more of the supporting characters that made that show fantastic. If they got all of them involved instead of like the big names, like Ed Helms, like I think that would have been better and funnier. So I thought it was funny, but I thought it could have been a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with you. To me, the key cog that was missing in that sketch was Rainn Wilson. I mean, you got to have Dwight there.
Totally. Yeah. But if you can't afford Dwight,
sure.
Stanley ain't doing much. Creed's not doing anything.
I agree with you.
You know, you can get one of them to show up, but yeah. You know, I see.
The HR guy, Toby, you're right. The ones that essentially didn't go on to do a whole lot else. I think that's what we're getting at here.
Kevin.
But yeah, Kevin. Oh, Kevin's popped in a few things.
He's in
things.
Everything. Yeah, I mean, him in small parts and a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
That was the name I was trying to think of.
Yeah, Kevin's in that Ghostbusters movie for like 2 seconds. It's interesting, too, because I just don't know where else you can go with that. And it's not worth bringing it back for a reboot unless you can get – maybe not the entire gang back together again, but if you can get like 90% of it, and you need the big dogs to commit to that too, because if they don't, the reboot doesn't do a whole lot for you. I'm open to the idea, but again, it's got to be done the right way. Nah. And the cool thing about that show is that, look, you had a lot of stars that were kind of up and coming at the time. They've all gone on to do bigger and better things.
Yeah.
It would be really tough for the ones that you really need the glue pieces to come back together and make this work.
Well, and it's a very expansive cast, and you're right. You need the right people. Like I said, if they did a one-off reunion show, sure, like one or two episodes, go for it. But, yeah, you can't do an entire season. You can't do a reboot. People are too big. And that show wasn't good towards the end, so let's not forget that.
Yes.
Let's not act like it left on a high note, you know?
You're right.
But I feel there's a lot worse shows that kind of wrap things up, like Scrubs. I saw a picture of Scrubs. They were talking about a season 10, and I said, I hope not, because season 9 was one of the worst things ever created.
Yeah, but also they got rid of half the cast.
Sure.
Right.
But it should have ended.
But Scrubs, I would actually think, would be a little more successful than The Office. Well, not successful as far as viewers, but quality of material. Because that whole cast, no one's doing anything right now, so you can bring them all back. And I also think that storyline lends itself better to, you know, rebooting than The Office would.
Don't you think it loses the magic, though, that final episode? Like, to me, I mean, JD walking through the hospital, I know that was season 8 and he came back for season 9, but again, I refuse to acknowledge that existence.
Well, we can just say season 9 never existed.
Yeah.
We can agree on that.
But to me, that was such a great ending for that show where they had the thing hanging down and you saw the pictures of the future and him and Elliot had the children. And I just feel like you can't bring it back or you sort of ruin that whole last episode, which I thought was brilliantly done, and as we know, a lot of last episodes suck for the most part in TV series.
I have to make one request. If indeed there is life to this Office reboot, if they are going to go back and reboot this thing, I have one request. You know I'm a huge fan of David Koechner. Absolute legend as Champ Kind in the Anchorman series, but if they're going to bring back the Office reboot, then Todd Packard has to play a bigger role. He was one of the more underused and one of the funniest guys in that entire series, so I would love to see him get some more play if indeed they go back down that route. All right, Al, let's turn our attention to the box office, my man. The new Harry Potter movie, I saw it yesterday. I thought it was pretty impressive. Pulled in an estimated $62 million on its opening weekend. How successful would you say that was, considering all the other competition that it had? Because there were a lot of other really good movies at the theater this weekend.
Well, first I want to say you're dead wrong. That movie was bad. I thought it was bad. I mean, it was enjoyable, but I felt like it was trying to do a bunch of different things. It was, you know, spinning its wheels a lot to try and get to this third one. I don't know. I just didn't care for it. Yeah, it won the weekend. Oh, they didn't do that well. If you consider like what the Marvel movies do, what some of these bigger blockbusters do, they made $64 million in November, the week before Thanksgiving. I think they should have done better. I'm shocked Widows got buried. I thought Widows was fantastic. Same director as 12 Years a Slave, but it's a heist thriller. Same writer as Sharp Objects and Gone Girl. Like, The cast is fantastic. Like, it was a very, very good movie. And it was just on the weekend, in premiere weekend, and a movie that should play a big role in the Academy Award nominations. I was just shocked that it did so poorly. And we saw that with First Man earlier. So a lot of these movies that have been pushed for months being said that they're going to be some of the Academy Award frontrunners are just failing at the box office. So I'm interested to see if that's going to affect their nominations in the future.
I've been waiting a long time to drop this one. Would you say there really wasn't enough space at the box office for First Man?
Well done.
I love that one, man. I've been sitting on that one for a real long time. I had to wait and see how that movie was going to do at the box office. It didn't do well, so I had to put that in there. I just had to.
I'll talk to you next week.
Well, there's a lot of really good movies coming out here in the coming weeks. I think we've talked about Creed a little bit, but that's one that's obviously getting a heck of a lot of play. Boy, it was about a month ago we had teased the idea of coming back to this movie. And Al, after hearing about what Christian Bale did and the transformation he went through to play the role of Dick Cheney, this movie Vice, which is coming out in about a month or so, it looks awfully intriguing. It's got a really good cast. We've got to discuss this because, again, the previews look really, really awesome. I've heard rumors that Christian Bale apparently put on like 45 pounds. I mean, this looks really good.
All right, first of all, that shouldn't shock anyone. Christian Bale has done this throughout his career. He did a movie called Machinist where I think he lost like 100 pounds, looked like skin and bones. He put on about 30 pounds, I think, for American Hustle. That dude just fluctuates weight and doesn't care, man. He's just in it for the role. So this isn't something new to him. And not new to actors in general. I mean, DiCaprio's gained some weight, lost some weight. You see that a lot. But for Christian Bale, it's kind of the norm. But this movie looks fantastic. It's probably one of the most excited for coming out. I think it's going to do very well in the Academy Award nominations. It's from Adam McKay, who obviously, you know, Bull, Step Brothers, all that stuff, but also jumped into dramatic Academy Award winning filmmaking with The Big Short, followed it up with Succession, which is still my favorite TV show of the year. So the guy is on a hot streak right now, and this looks like it'll continue it with the same kind of humor. It's got an amazing cast with Amy Allen. As we said, Christian Bale is Dick Cheney. I think Steve Carell's in it as Donald Rumsfeld, but I could be wrong.
Yep.
And then Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush, who to me stole the trailer and I think could be in the running for a repeat at Best Supporting Actor. So, yeah, I'm all in. It's the movie I'm most excited about. I think it's going to be great, and I don't think it's going to hold any punches when it's taking care of Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. And Adam McKay actually had an article came out that he was talking about how much worse Bush was as a president than Donald Trump. So, like I said, I don't think he's holding any punches back when he's going to show how bad the Bush and Cheney administration was.
Okay, so I'm going to rank them. There are three movies I'm really, really, really looking forward to seeing over the next couple of months here. You guys both know what number one is. I don't think I need to mention it. I mean, I'll sleep overnight to get a ticket to that one. I know it's going to be awesome on Christmas Day. Number two, I would say this occupies number two on my list. And then number three, I would put Creed up there, or Creed 2, whatever they're calling it. So there are three really good ones coming up that I absolutely positively cannot wait to see. Holmes and Watson, for those of you keeping score at home, would be number one for me. All right,
Al. By the way, I'm out on Holmes and Watson. I thought that trailer was awful. I think the poster looks awful. I'm kind of out on Holmes and Watson. I will still see it, and maybe it'll change my mind. But as of now, I'm kind of out.
I will watch it, and I will laugh hysterically. I thoroughly enjoy the trailer, but I digress, my man. We need your picks to click for this week. Obviously, a big viewership week with a lot of folks kicking back at home and enjoying Thanksgiving with a longer weekend than usual for those out there that are fortunate enough not to have to work on Friday. What should we be watching for over the next 6 days?
Well, the big one is The Little Drummer Girl comes out on AMC, I think, tomorrow. It's a John Le Carré miniseries who, for those of you who don't know, he wrote Tinker Tailor Just Soldier Spy, Constant Gardner, one of the greatest mystery authors we've ever had. And so the movie's taken from his books are usually great. This one has Alexander Skarsgård and my favorite, Michael Shannon. So super excited for that. But since it is the holiday weekend, people are going to be watching a lot of Netflix, and Netflix has released some great movies over the past couple weeks. The Coen Brothers movie, Ballad of Buster Scruggs, came out on Friday. I highly recommend that. And there was The Outlaw King, which was the Chris Pine movie about Robert the Bruce, kind of happens to Scotland after William Wallace and the events of Braveheart. The critics weren't kind to it, but that's because what I found out was when it got originally released at TIFF, it didn't do well, so the director took it back and cut about 20 minutes off. And I think it's great. I saw it. I watched it over the weekend. I thought it was fantastic. I highly, highly recommend that. Obviously, a lot of these are bleak, dark movies, and on the holidays, you want something a little lighter, but I don't do light, so those are my recommendations.
All right. Al, we enjoy the honesty, as always, my friend. Certainly enjoy the conversation. You and yours have a wonderful Thanksgiving, my friend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
It sounds great. Have a good Thanksgiving, guys.
You do the same. Again, Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I didn't realize there was a little prior to William Wallace, Braveheart, there going on with that new Chris Pine series on Netflix.
Yeah, I guess is all I can say to it. I mean, I knew it took place in that era. I figured, from my understanding, Braveheart isn't the most factual of movies out there. In fact, I didn't even know if William Wallace actually existed, but I know all that stuff went down and things happened, and then I know that this movie with Chris Pine kind of tells the story of how this guy kind of comes over and brings Scotland back into power.
William Wallace was 7 feet tall. Yeah. Yes, and so I've heard.
Yes, yes. It was a great movie.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.